Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The waters off Cork are lifeless and barren, according to one of my next guests. The overfishing of sprat, which is a vital food source for larger fish, is having a massive knock-on effect on marine species like humpback whales and dolphins. Skipper Colin Barnes has closed his whale-watching business as a result. Well, Colin is with me now, along with Ken O'Sullivan, who's an underwater cameraman and documentary maker, and you're both welcome to the programme. But Colin, I want to start with yourself, and if we can just go back a bit. I mean, you moved to West Cork in the 70s, wasn't it? And you initially worked as a fisherman.
Yeah, it was just, I came here to make a living at fishing. I started in the UK in the English Channel, and the English Channel was fished to death after World War II, mostly by the French and the British as well. Unrestricted, uncontrolled fishing just emptied the English Channel. So trying to make a living there as a fisherman, I thought, this isn't going to work. So after a lot of research and looking around, Southwest Ireland jumped off the page again and again as a good place to try making a living fishing. Mm-hmm. So I moved here blind. I couldn't find any pictures or images of West Cork, nothing. But it seemed to be the place to go for fishing. So I moved here in 1972. With the express move to take up fishing, and was astonished at how much fish was in the waters here. Unbelievable.
And you did that. You did that then for many years, but then you set up this whale watching business near Union Hall.
I did, yeah. Whilst I was fishing over the years, I noticed fish stocks started to go down rapidly just around the time that trawlers decided it was a great idea to start fishing for sprats. And historically, that had never happened. Perhaps wisdom of our ancestors, or you wouldn't know, but nobody was ever commercially fishing sprats until pelagic trawling was invented. And that's where two trawlers together pull a massive net between them. And that is how they started fishing for sprats, with giant trawls, and they've been at it ever since. There was never any controls, regulations. Catch as many as you like was the message. So they've methodically, over the last 30 years or so, emptied the seas of sprats.
And now it's having an impact. You had your whale watching business, but now you say that the whales are gone.
Yeah, whales come into Irish waters for one reason only, to eat sprats. They don't really eat mackerel, herring or anything else. Some of the larger whales will occasionally eat herring, but the focus of all the attention of the whales is on sprats. And they're really important little fish that feed on plankton and nothing else, pack themselves with protein, omega-3 oils, and every species of fish that humanity exploits tend to eat sprats. Like they're the staple diet of mackerel is larval sprats. Gannets, puffins, kittiwakes, shearwaters, everything depends on sprats. Whales, dolphins, cod, pollock, whiting, everything is eating sprats. Mm-hmm. They're the lifeblood of the ocean. So it's not a very bright idea to keep hammering away at the stock. And they only fish for them when they're spawning and no other time. Mm-hmm. And these are not sprats that you find all over the Atlantic. They live only in Irish waters. They're indigenous to Irish waters. And are seldom found beyond the 100-metre line. They're very much coastal. So the inshore waters are now barren because they're spratless and the whales have moved on looking for food elsewhere.
Colin, tell me about the impact that you've seen when it comes to the tours and bringing people out to look for whales. Was that over a period of time that you noticed you weren't seeing anything?
Steady decrease. All the while there were sprats, we had world-class whale watching here. Even the BBC came here to film whales. And I was a bit bemused because this is the team, they've been all over the world to every corner of the planet filming wildlife. None of them have ever been to Ireland, the country right next door. They'd never had a reason to come here because any wildlife that's here, they'd find in the UK and film it there, but not when it came to large whales. So they came here explicitly to film fin whales and their feeding behaviour. Mm-hmm. And they're massive animals. They're the second biggest creature that's ever lived on the planet, just behind blue whales, and very similar in shape and design to a blue whale, just a bit smaller.
Well, Ken, let's bring you in here because this is what you do. You're an underwater cameraman and you make documentaries about these animals. Is that your experience too, that the whales have just gone because their food source is gone?
The waters where Colin is talking about, I think, are the Celtic Sea, the south coast of Ireland, and particularly of the Cork coast. You know, there were massive numbers of humpback whales, fin whales, coming in there over the last 20 years or so. Remembering that these animals, you know, we stopped killing them in the 1980s, and it's a recovering population. You know, the humpback whales weren't seen for decades, and then I think 2001, there were two seen off the Kinsale gas rigs. And since then, the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group have been recording more and more, I think, there's maybe 150 in the catalogue. But Colin has rightly been saying for 15, 18 years that the targeting of sprat is absolute ecological suicide. Now, you know, the way that commercial fisheries works is that scientists, and we have some of the best marine science in the world in Ireland, scientists go out and from historical data, from acoustic research that they do, from computer modelling, they arrive at a number and they say, we can catch X amount of these species in a way we don't deplete the stock. And it's called the maximum sustainable yield. It's a number. Now, there is no such research done for sprat. I'm told there may be some in tow at the moment, but I'm not aware of it. It's not publicly available. So it's not regarded as a commercial species. So fishermen then can go out and fish as much of it as they want. And I'm told it's somewhere between maybe 180, 300 euro a ton. And just to give you an example, I think, you know, herring would be 500 a ton, mackerel, well, 1,000 euro a ton. And I can't understand that in the absence of data, why you are then allowed to fish something, because if the data is what manages the thing. So to come back to the point, absolutely, there's been a huge decline in humpback whales in particular off the south coast of Ireland. We've seen some of them moving up to the north coast over the last few years, moving up to Scotland, moving to UK to try and forage, to try and feed themselves. And remember that the humpback whales, they come here for a few months to feed themselves before they make a migration route. It's the longest migration of any mammal to their breeding grounds. It could be 7,000 kilometres. So if you're off the coast of Cork and you're trying to feed yourself in the knowledge that you have this five-month migration journey ahead of yourself and there's no food, that's really, really dubious situation for these animals.
And Colin, can you tell me what it is like when you're out on a tour with people who've never seen whales before, in particular children, when they do catch a glimpse of one of those magnificent creatures? What's that like?
Nothing but thrills and excitement, as you can imagine. It's a little bit like watching dinosaurs that are still here. A humpback whale is about the weight and size of quite a few of the dinosaur species. And even dolphins have an astonishing effect on people. If you've never seen dolphins, it was one of the things that inspired me to do that, was when we were coming back from long-range fishing trips. Maybe we were tired and the catch wasn't very good or fish prices were bad and everyone's depressed. All of a sudden, there's dolphins at the boat. And somebody'd go, oh, look, dolphins. And suddenly everyone's smiling and dolphins have that effect. Mm-hmm. And whales similar. I mean, they're just astonishing, wonderful creatures to watch. They're not a bit wary. They'll come right up to the boat. They visit the boat sometimes and feed right next to the boat. And when you're as big as a whale, you don't have to be wary of predators. Their only predator ever was humans. So they're just a delightful animal to watch. You know, you haven't got to hide in a hide hundreds of metres away to watch them. Or, you know, they're indifferent to your presence as long as you behave yourself and don't roar about at speed when you're in company with whales. They take no notice. So, they're thrilling creatures to watch.
Yeah, it sounds,
especially when they're feeding.
It sounds extraordinary. What, Colin, will you do now that you've decided to close the business?
I don't know. I've had a passion for the sea since I was 4.5 years old. Couldn't stay away from it. I spent my whole life studying it, mapping the seabed, fishing up to 2000, and the last 24 years or 25 years now are delightful, watching and learning about whales, of which we know so little. Even David Attenborough would tell you that, how little we know. You can't watch whales like with critter cam and see what they do around the clock. Nobody knows what they do at night. There's still a lot of mystery attached to them. But what we do learn is how they feed in the daytime. Incredible skills they have in doing that. They're just amazing things to watch, never mind their sheer size.
Well, Colin, we wish you well. And it is very sad to hear that this has happened. But hopefully the news of it, and Ken, I think you'd agree with this, might just spur some action to be taken on the fishing for Sprat.
Oh, look, I hope so. I hope so. And, you know, the ICES, the International Council for Exploration of the Sea, have been saying to Ireland for 10, 12, 13 years, you know, in the light of absence of data, that you should use precautionary principle and fish for, I think, they said 2,500 tons. The official catch is 14 or 15. And we hear anecdotally all the time that could be inaccurate. But look, as Colin says, you know, the joy, the sheer joy of having these animals, and that's just our human reaction in our waters, you know, you can't put a price on that. But also ecotourism operations like Colin's, it's a perfect example of how, in a declining fish stocks, how coastal communities can regenerate to a degree. You have fishermen like Colin who have the vessels, who have the local knowledge, and it's absolutely sustainable. It can go on forever. And I just hope that, you know, people will see sense and the powers that be will do something about it.
Well, let's hope. Ken O'Sullivan and Colin Barnes, thank you both for being with us this morning.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.